Hello, sister travelers. Well, do you love animals like I do? Or maybe you have considered doing a volunteer trip in with your travels. So I have a great guest today who provides that exact thing, both of those together. So I have Nora Livingston from Animal Experience International coming on the show today. And the organization is an award-winning B Corp that helps animal lovers visit and participate in safe, ethical, and authentically beneficial conservation programs. Coining the term consent-based travel, Nora understands the importance of ethics in all interactions, both when we are at home and abroad. So through Animal Experience International, Nora has sent more than 1,000 volunteers on adventures and donated more than $1 million to locally run conservation and animal welfare programs. She's been to more than 50 countries, and she will never pick a favorite, so don't ask her that question. And she lives on Vancouver Island, which allows her to do lots of biking, hikes, and she loves drinks that sparkle. So listen in on our conversation about this topic. Welcome to Solo Travel Adventures, my sisters. Don't let fear hold you back from traveling alone. I want you to gather your courage, listen to inspiring stories, and learn how to travel solo while safely navigating new places from this show. I'm Cheryl Esch, solo travel advocate and travel coach, and I want you to have a transformative experience when you travel solo. So pack your bags, book your flight, and check one more time for that passport. It's time to explore the world. Well, hello, Nora. Thank you so much for being here on my podcast. How are you today?
I am delighted to be here. I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm good. So I know I introduced you, and I want you to tell us a little bit more about Animal Experience International and how it got started. You know, where did that come from, and what's your role in that company? So get us started there so we can have a better understanding of what your organization does.
Yeah, thank you. AEI started in 2011, and then in 2012, we actually launched. But we started because I was a volunteer coordinator at a wildlife center in Canada, and my business partner was still is the veterinarian there. And after I left the center, we just got to talking about how I really love travel and spend a lot of time talking about the ethics of travel and working with animals and animal welfare. And she was constantly talking with vet students and other volunteers that wanted to do things internationally. And we were both really puzzled that that there wasn't an entity that existed that just focused on animal welfare and local conservation. And we thought, hey, if it doesn't exist, why don't we do it? So we took about a year in 2011 to just do some research and see what was out there and what we could learn about tourism. And then in 2012, we started sending volunteers around the world.
Oh, wow. So you were able to create and merge your passion for travel and animals through this organization, it sounds like. So like you said, it wasn't there, you created it. Why not? I mean, that just sounds like a perfect blend of your passions. And same with your partner's passion. So thank you. I love animals. I wish I had a bunch of dogs and cats, but but you mentioned, and I know that several years ago, I watched a Netflix documentary just kind of revealing some of the unethical. I've heard the term animal tourism maybe has been used, like how we are, you know, for the sake of tourism, they're exploiting animals. So tell us how Animal Experience International is different from that.
Yeah, I like to think about it that we exist to not only send people on really great trips, but also to educate people that the counter exists. And, you know, unfortunately, there is exploitation of people and animals and the environment and everything in the world. And so So there can be really great animal tourism in a conservation lens, in a supporting local community lens, but I think unfortunately, the word that I'm sort of dancing around is entitlement, that people love animals, they want to see animals, and sometimes through no fault of their own, think that they're entitled to have a relationship or an interaction with these animals. And so we exist to show people that you can very much interact with animals, but maybe not always in the way that you expect right away. And so all of our volunteer or all of our experiences are volunteer, and they're all volunteer roles that are suggested as well as prepared by us and the local community. So oftentimes we don't need vets or vet techs because those roles are already filled by local professionals. We need people that are able to cut bananas for elephants, or able to mush up mangoes for monkeys, or able to literally go out in a boat with marine biologists and count dolphins and look at their behavior. It is everything that we do is making sure that we are consensually operating in these communities and interacting with these animals. And all of it is for the sake of the animal first, with the idea that when we have ethical adventures, the travelers, the tourists, the volunteers, whatever word we want to give ourselves, we will enjoy doing that. So it's not swimming with dolphins, something that someone might really like doing and then find out later is very bad for the local community, is not humane, is terrible for the individual dolphins. It is working with dolphin conservation groups and doing monitoring of them. So no matter what you're doing, you are having an interaction with an animal, but it's for the welfare of the animal. And it's something that when you look back later, when you have these memories, there's not an asterisk going, oh, I didn't know better and I'll do better. It's, someone else knew better. Someone else was focusing on ethics and they told me, and I understand better in part.
Yes, that's great. Thank you for explaining that and how there is interaction with the animals, but it's I like how you said it's the animal first mindset. So I love that. And so these are volunteers. How do you see an experience as a volunteer being different than, say, someone just going on a trip, traveling as a tourist?
Yeah, I just love volunteering because I'm inherently curious. I'm also very nosy. I ask lots of questions. And while I love a nature walk and looking at different birds and mammals and invertebrates on these walks, I really like just knowing more. What do they eat? How are they rehabilitated? What does a hospital look like? How do we support them? And so volunteering is just digging a little bit deeper into the natural world that we're already living in. And so, a tourist could go to an elephant sanctuary and walk around and learn about the elephants. And that's amazing. And what a beautiful experience. But a volunteer spends a couple days at the sanctuary, mushing up the aforementioned bananas, washing the elephants if they need that, going on walks, getting browse, and just understanding the husbandry a little bit more, and really having just more interactions with all the parts of what a center needs to take care of these animals. And so it's just a little more investment of truly like a tourist time. Like we're all tourists, we're all travelers, which is pretty amazing, but being able to invest your time in just learning more about these animals and how you can support them. Having typically no background at all, which is really cool.
Oh, do you find that there's volunteers that come with just they're interested and they just have no background? Do you have a lot of those volunteers?
Most of our volunteers, including me, are exactly that. Like, how would you ever have any background working with elephants if you are from Turtle Island, North America? How would you ever have worked with a toucan before? If you don't know what a coati is, how would you have experience doing that? I was just in Australia and I got to work with so many animals with pouches. Most of them I didn't know what they were before I got there. And everything, most things that volunteers do are very translatable. And so you don't have to have a background. You don't have to know the weird biology of each animal. You don't have to have an animal husbandry degree. But if you can use a broom, you can clean out an enclosure for orphaned howler monkeys. If you can do a bit of gardening, you can get some browse for an owl to make a really cool enclosure in Australia. It's all about learning when you're there, what skills you have, and how it can better support that animal. I mentioned dolphins before. You don't have to know anything about dolphin biology or behavior or conservation. When you go out on the boat with a marine biologist, they explain more about dolphins. And as long as you can see a dolphin, which they'll point out how to see it, because sometimes it is hard, that's how you learn. You learn more about their behavior in situ, which is really cool. So you're learning about their behavior. You're learning about what they're doing, why they're doing it, what aunties are looking after, what calves, how hunting looks. And you don't need to know that before. You just have to know how to ask questions and how to, like, literally how to look at things and then know what a dolphin is.
So how long are your typical volunteer, trips? How long does someone have to commit to a volunteer trip?
So because you don't have to be a professional and you don't have to have a background, most of our trips start at 1 week, because we do realize it is, it's an investment of your time. It's an investment of everything, really. And so I normally like to tell people, if you can, 2 weeks is kind of like the sweet spot, and that is where you really grow and learn a lot more. But if you're not able to give that much time, most of our programs, 1 week to 10 days is sort of the smallest amount. And that way you can get trained, you understand more about the animals you're working with, and you can feel really comfortable with the work that you're doing. And it's just amazing. I think so many people have, when they were younger, a favorite animal, or as they grow up, something that just always spoke to them. And being able to work hands-on and give service to the local communities who are already helping these animals, and then also help the individual animal that you've always loved, you've always been curious and interested in. It's so special to say, I've actually touched an elephant. I actually got to make enrichment for a hummingbird. All these very amazing animals that you get to work with. I think a week is such a beautiful amount of time to sit in it and be really mindful of the help that you're really giving these animals.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I would agree. 2 weeks, I feel like, might be better, because I feel like just 1 week, you're just probably just getting into, kind of a rhythm. You're just that tipping the iceberg of that curiosity you mentioned, and learning. And that second week might make you go a little deeper, maybe, with that situation. So yeah, I would have to agree. But like you said, it's not always easy. You know, I'm from America and we don't get much time off.
Yeah,
maybe 1 or 2 weeks, right? So yeah, I get that. But I guess, like you said, irregardless, like, you're gonna have a good experience. And actually, can you maybe share an experience that maybe you witnessed where you had, it was a positive outcome for a solo traveler that maybe joined one of your tours?
Yeah, so we have two different types of programs. We have some group programs, and then we also have solo adventures. And so most of our travelers go away as solo. So some will tack on the trip at the end of something they're doing, or they'll go for 3 weeks as like a solo adventure and meet people on the program, which I always think is so amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, like so neat to have like a heart for service, and you love animals, and you're inherently interested in travel, and you go away to a wildlife center or elephants or dolphins or whatever you're working with, and that's where you meet your people. That's where like people from all around the world are just like you, and you meet sometimes like your soulmate that you haven't been able to meet because you're not in that exact place, which I love. We've had more than 1,000 volunteers travel with us through our solo adventures. And it's so amazing hearing from them, because they talk about releasing kangaroos back into the wild, or seeing a wild horse in Mongolia the first time ever, which is amazing, or being able to touch an elephant after just, you know, always having a heart for elephants and these massive gentle giants. But then also, obviously, I love animals, and so all of these experiences are weighed very heavily on my heart because they're just so wonderful. But hearing when people meet their people is just so wonderful. And I think especially now, where people are feeling more and more isolated, especially after the pandemic, trying to figure out what our community is, who are we in relation to the people around us, being able to really travel and find yourself and have your heart sing and then meet someone else is so cool. And I think travel is just an amazing way of doing that, because it's people who are all ages, and we meet because we love adventure. We love learning about ourselves and how we are in different cultures, different foods, and then also the conservation. And so we have some clients that every couple years they met on a, I think they met in Nepal working with dogs. And now every 2 years, they're from like different sides of the planet. One is European and one is American. And every couple years they go to another animal center. And that is their like reunion, just volunteering again.
That's so cool. I love it. I love it.
It's so amazing.
Any like get married? That you know of?
Not yet. Oh, actually, kind of. We have had someone who, yes, we have one marriage so far that someone met a woman who was working on the program. So it was a client of ours, and he had traveled a few times, and then he met like a vet tech that was on the program, and now he no longer volunteers for us because he works there.
So there's a lot of positive outcomes, it sounds like, from these groups, these tours that you put on. Do you have a favorite of one that maybe you've been on that just was, you know, a different experience? Maybe there's something extraordinary that happened. Can you share that if you think of one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really lucky that we set up AEI to be very ethical, because we wanted to make sure that, the local communities were always supported. The animals had the best, like the highest amount of animal welfare. And we also wanted to make sure that people traveling always felt safe. Most of our volunteers are women. And so we wanted to make sure that no matter where they were going around the world, they were feeling safe in that community and felt safe with us back home telling them about the community they were in. And so I've traveled to all of our programs at least once to set up the program to make sure that it doesn't just seem safe on the internet. It does feel safe when I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And to visit countries that I never even considered is incredible. Like, we have a wildlife hospital in Malawi in Southern Africa. Okay. And to be able to just see all these beautiful animals is just so incredible. Like a bush baby, something that I didn't really know existed. And then seeing it, like, they're so cute. It's like a squirrel and a monkey put together, and they just dialed up the cuteness. And you're just like, how does this exist? And I don't know. One of the amazing things in Malawi is there is some animals that have to stay in sanctuary. They either are have been in captivity in a bad situation for too long that they can't be released, or they were confiscated from animal traffickers. And again, for some reason, they can't be released into the wild. And an amazing part of volunteering there is just doing behavior monitoring of the animals that are at the sanctuary. So we are just making sure that they have a good quality of life. We can make sure by watching them every day, we see that they're hunting, they're foraging, they feel free, they feel safe. And so I remember sitting as like the sun went down in the small forest that the center is located in, and just watching servals, big little cats, just play with each other. And how incredible to be on the other side of the planet and your very important volunteer job to make sure that animal welfare is the highest it can be is just sitting under a tree in Southern Africa and just watching big cats play with each other. Like, whoa. It's very cool.
Sign and like up,
not
right?
Something right. It's not something that I would ever expect, but I love that that exists. And this happens quite often, like walking on the Mongolian steppe to do monitoring of wild horses. Mongolia was a place that I had always thought was interesting, but never really like had a reason to go. Yeah. And then to go with AEI to make sure this program would be good for our volunteers, just walking through this beautiful grassland and seeing huge golden eagles and palace cats along with these very ancient wild horses. It's just incredible. Like, the natural world that we share is just teeming with such curiosities.
And it's so different from probably what you and I are used to in our, you know, even, you know, our nature around us, just to go to another country, like you said, and just see different species and all that. It's just, I would be in awe too. Now, you mentioned South Africa, Mongolia, you mentioned Australia. What are some other places that you go on your trips?
Yeah. So we have so many. We have 25 different programs. And so anything from, we do shark rehabilitation in South Africa. Okay. We have wildlife centers in Malawi, Guatemala, Australia. In Spain, we have a dog rescue as well as a horse sanctuary, which is amazing to just be on. In the south of Spain, on the Mediterranean, just helping a whole bunch of horses. Again, like, it's very dreamy to just like, this is my life. Okay. We have some sea turtle centers in Costa Rica and Guatemala. And then, in Croatia, there's a dolphin center. Truly, like, whatever animal you're interested in, there's something there. Oh, in Thailand, we have an elephant center as well as a wildlife center. So you can see orangutans and hornbills and vervet monkeys. Nope, vervet monkeys are in South Africa. A different type of monkey, and gibbons, as well as amazing elephants. So it's, truly, I'm so blessed and lucky, and And it's just exceptional to be able to, the diversity of animals on this planet is so cool. And no matter what someone is interested in, like there's a way to ethically see those animals and really, really serve, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I love monkeys. So it sounds like I'd have to go to Thailand to your center, huh?
Yes. Well, if you love monkeys, we have monkeys in Malawi, in Thailand, in Guatemala. Guatemala is so wonderful because it's a wildlife center that, again, it's a number of animals that are either confiscated from poachers or animal traffickers, or they've had like a bad interaction with a human for some reason. So one of the volunteer roles is helping with the orphaned howler monkeys. And howler monkeys, through a whole bunch of mechanisms, are like, they're lovers, not fighters. And volunteers can work with them. They're very docile. They're very they love to lay around. And so, yeah, one of the jobs is just to go into the enclosure where they're very okay. They don't attack people. They're very docile, and just hang enrichment and leaves and bananas that we've rolled up and wrapped up in banana leaves so they can be monkeys and rip them apart and have their brain be interested, little puzzles. Okay. And it's so cute.
Ah, well, Guatemala is not far from Texas. So.
It is not.
It's probably I probably guess a 3-hour flight for me, but that sounds amazing. I love it. So what would you suggest, what advice would you give to solo travelers that, like you said, they don't know any better, right? And they want to have some sort of experience with animals outside of your company. Is there something else that they could do so that they're not exploiting animals when they travel? Like if that's their goal and they want to see some animals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that first, I never want to shame anyone. We love animals and people just don't know what they don't know. I've now spent almost 20 years thinking and talking and educating myself on ethics. And so if someone loves an animal and hasn't spent that much time on ethics, I absolutely understand. And I'm so happy to answer this question. One of the things that we have been talking about for a while now, because I think it's a really easy sort of metric and lens to look through, is something that I've called consent-based tourism. And that is looking at every interaction through consent. And so if you want to see a dolphin, and you want to have the magic that is seeing a dolphin, then it has to be consensual. And so would it be consensual if a dolphin is in a small tank, or if it has been taken from its family, or if it's being coerced to perform for you? That's not. Yeah. Consent is being on a boat and a dolphin doing some flips and turns around the boat and then leaving. Yeah. And that has the true magic. It's not cheapened by I now know better in part, and it's a bit gross how we treat dolphins. And so if someone is interested in monkeys, then when you are looking up an experience or looking up a nature walk or anything like that, do the monkeys get to say no with the interaction? So they're not in a small cage, they're not tethered, they're not wearing a leash. Again, there's no violence or coercion, then you can know, okay, this is actually ethical. Because if someone's saying, oh, this monkey really wants to ride a bike, but it's on a leash, probably doesn't want to. sort of low-hanging fruit, but if we just look at that way, if we recognize that animals are sentient beings and it can, of course, feel pain and joy and loneliness, then are we treating them that way? And are we letting them say no? Can they leave the interaction? Because, of course, consent can always be taken away. So maybe there is a monkey that like wants to kind of see what you're doing. And then there's a loud noise and it runs away. It means that was consensual. It was interested and now it's taking off. So I would say like, that's sort of the easiest way to look at things is to look through this lens. And then also never worry about asking questions. If you think something looks kind of weird, you're not really sure, you don't have maybe the words for it, asking the tour guide or asking a biologist or asking if it's a center that you want to volunteer with or you want to visit, asking what their ethics policy is, asking if animals are made to perform, if you're allowed to do these things. And a place that thinks about animal welfare, like me, won't shut up about it. And that's how you know. If someone says like, oh, let me tell you all of these reasons that we're ethical and we are authentically helping these animals, I will talk your ear off. Then you know someone is not hiding something. They just want the information out there.
Yeah. And I think the two examples you gave also kind of show me that it's also like they're in their natural habitat typically, right? So like it's naturally occurring. Like you said, you're probably on a boat. I've had that happen. I've even been out swimming in ocean. I've seen dolphins and they just kind of go by, right? So, and you just, you know, you marvel at that, you let it happen. And, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not forced. So I like that, those examples. So that was great. Well, any other advice you'd give us before I have you tell people where they can find your amazing trips and group and where we can find you online? But is there any last piece of nugget I'd like to say that you'd like to provide to my listeners?
I would say that volunteering with animals is for everyone. Like I have no background with animals at all. I have a humanities degree, which is useless in this in this industry. I don't have any like special background. Most of the time I go somewhere, it's the first time meeting these animals. And I just go, okay, put me to work. What even is this animal? So it's, yeah, my advice would be like, if you're interested in something, go out after it. It's not for other people. I think it's for all of us. And I think sometimes people like stand on the sidelines and go, oh, I wish that could be me. Or, oh, I wish that would be something that I did when I was younger, or I studied something to do this. Volunteering is amazing because as long as you're, like I said, curious and interested, then anyone can do it. And so it's not just for other people to have this adventure. It truly, truly is for all of us that just love animals. So come along.
Yeah. And I know that for a fact that people that listen to my podcast, they're women that are 50 and older, and there's some of them are retired. That whole idea, they are seeking out volunteer, you know, trips because they have the time and they want to have those experiences that maybe, like you said, they didn't have time to do when they were younger. So yeah, I think I thank you for that advice. I believe, you know, most people as they're getting older, they have more time and, you know, they are seeking out volunteer opportunities like that. So great. Where can we find you and tell us all your social media handles and all that stuff? So, and I'll make sure I include it in the show notes as well, but go ahead and tell us where we can find Animal Experience International. And
yeah, we are just online at animalexperienceinternational.com. And yeah, all our social animals. Oh, amazing. I wish that our social handles were animals, but our social media handles are typically Animal International. We chose our name because we thought it would be so good on Google. If you forget our name, you just go, I want an animal experience. I want it to be international. And we whoop, show up. But it does mean that our socials are have to be a bit truncated. Yeah, but just look for the little globe that we have. There's an elephant, dolphin, monkey, sea turtle on it, and you'll find us.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Well, Nora, thank you so much for your time and really educating us on this topic. I thoroughly enjoyed it because, I love animals and I would love to experience them, but I'm also conscientious that, of what is going on in the tourist industry. So I appreciate truly what your company is doing and providing that, that service with a nice, with that ethical, consensual experience with you and the animals. So thank you so much for your time and sharing that.
Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. I love when people are interested because I think all of us are, and I think it's just so great to have your platform just talk more about how we can all get involved ethically and really change our lives.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Well, awesome. Thank you again, Nora.
Thank you.
Hey, sister travelers, did this podcast inspire and encourage you or move you to get out there and travel? Wonderful. There are three ways you can thank me. First one is leave a written review for the show on Apple Podcast. Two, share the show with your sister travelers, your friends, your family. And three, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And thank you again for listening to the show. Sisters, be fearless, take the leap, and get out there and have an adventure.